Hello, and welcome to the capital of Greece itself. Yes, here we are in Athens. When Paul arrived here, it must have been one of the great highlights of his second missionary journey. He'd been moving from one strategic centre to another across what is today modern-day Greece. And everywhere he went, he boldly proclaimed that Jesus is the Jews' long-awaited Messiah. But this message was proving extremely divisive, just as Jesus had predicted it would be. Many believed and became fervent in their faith, but several of the Jews became positively violent in their opposition. Paul had had to move on from Philippi, from Thessalonica, and from Berea, all because of the troublemakers who seemed intent on pursuing his footsteps. But God cannot be beaten. If only these troublemakers had realized that their opposition was merely helping to spread Paul's message ever wider. But they didn't. Paul's strategy was to target significant cities, from where his message would be able to spread yet wider still. So here he was, at last, right here in Athens, his most significant city yet. Although its days of supreme glory were past, it was still the greatest university city in the world, attracting students from far and near. It was a city of many gods. It was said that there were more gods here in Athens than in all the rest of Greece put together, and that it was easier to meet a god in Athens than to meet a man. People met to talk in the great square. In fact, in Athens, they did little else. It was a questioning, decadent city, and academically snobbish. But Paul had little regard for such empty culture. He was disturbed because the people of Athens were looking for truth in the wrong direction. But how on earth could he make any difference? All around him were the trappings of Greek history, culture, and religion. I'm standing here on the Acropolis, with the then all-glorious Parthenon towering above me. It was already nearly 500 years old in Paul's day. It was built to house the statue of the goddess Athene, an object of the very greatest devotion. The view from up here is stupendous. There are just so many highlights for today's tourists. And then there's the great Athenian marketplace. It formed the political heart of ancient Athens from 600 BC. The Stoa of Attalos, which runs its entire length, was rebuilt in the 1950s. It gives a vivid impression of the sheer magnificence of the city of Paul's day. Paul took in everything. There were just so many temples, altars, and images, all dedicated to heathen deities. How their idols must have provoked Paul. So this time, he went first to the marketplace and set to work. And the philosophers soon discovered him and invited him to speak. "You're bringing some strange ideas," they said. "We want to know what they mean." So it was right here that Paul experienced one of the greatest opportunities of his whole ministry, the presentation of the good news about Jesus to the world-famous Council of Athens, the Areopagus. He began by telling them that he'd spotted an inscription on one of their altars, "To an unknown God." "What you worship as unknown," he said, "I'm going to proclaim to you." And he went on to explain, "We shouldn't think that the divine being is like an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands everyone to repent. He set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." To most of Paul's hearers, this talk of a man being raised from the dead was absurd. It must have taken terrific courage to speak as he spoke. It would be hard to imagine a less receptive or more scornful audience. Right here where he spoke, the text of his address is engraved in bronze. And yet, at the time, Paul would have been amazed to know that his visit would later bear such fruit. God cannot be beaten.